Party pole!
On a hot July afternoon earlier this month, I took a sail on the 1600s replica tall ship complete with Swedish carvings.
Stand by to set the four course!
That's Lauren Morgens, captain of the ship.
M-O-R-G-E-N-S. Awesome. So almost like Captain Morgan, but not quite.
She shouted out various commands during the hour and a half trip along the Wilmington riverfront.
All righty. 4G! Set the four course!
She's been working for the ship for 12 years, along with a handful of volunteers like Colin McGowan. McGowan helped build the ship in Wilmington in 1997.
It's modeled after the original ship that founded Delaware, founded the first state, founded Wilmington, right down on the 7th Street Peninsula. We'll sail by that pretty soon.
It looks like something straight out of Pirates of the Caribbean.
This ship is built the same way they did then. It's made out of wood, held together with iron pins and wooden pegs, as you can see in the deck. It's all the sails are handled from the deck just like they did 450 years ago. They had it figured out.
Above water, the model ship is over 80% accurate in its resemblance of its original that brought Swedish settlers to Delaware in 1638.
Our ship was the last of probably 10,000 ships built in Wilmington.
That's Sam Heed, Director of Education and Senior Historian at the Kalmar Nickel Foundation. He took me back in time for a look at the history and evolution of the shipbuilding industry along the Wilmington riverfront. There were four major shipbuilding plants that grew up along the Christiana River over the course of 100 years.
And, it struck me one day looking at a map that they were all located on a strip of land between the railroad tracks and the navigable Christiana River. And that's not a coincidence.
There was just enough land to build the factories, allowing convenient access to both the railroad and waterfront. The first of the four plants to open in 1836 was Harlan and Hollingsworth. The first steam engine in Delaware was used in the plant, since it first began specializing in railway car manufacturing and eventually diversifying to include ship repair services.
Ships begin to use steam engines, they need more repair. They actually need to be brought in to a port facility, usually brought on land, to do more repair work.
Their repair work eventually leads them into the shipbuilding industry.
The Barclays Bank and the Firestone Grill, which we are fans of here on the riverfront, that building is the original Harlan brick. It's one of the original Harlan brick plant buildings. It still exists. So you can see teasing references. There's very few.
Next to pop up was Pusey and Jones, and then Jackson and Sharp soon afterwards. Drevo came in the early 1900s, an extension of a Pittsburgh-based company assembling barges.
They would ship these prefabricated sections by rail to Wilmington, put them together, and then just launch them right out the Christina into the Delaware.
In the 1900s, there was also a major consolidation movement, with Harlan and Hollingsworth selling to the Bethlehem Steel Shipbuilding Corporation, part of a big steel conglomerate.
This is the Gilded Age, the age of trusts, the age of Rockefeller and Morgan and Carnegie. And so most of the manufacturing sites along the Wilmington riverfront get bought up and become part of larger consortiums. It was just an economy of scale and access to resources. Bigger is better.
By 1926, they'd stopped making ships altogether, selling another piece to Drevo for its assembly line of ship production in World War II. During the war, Drevo becomes the largest shipbuilding yard on the riverfront. Wilmington became a magnet for women who also wanted to work, like the Rosie the Riveter character.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory, Rosie.
Housing was so tight that people had to subdivide their apartments or houses to make room for skilled workers and women who came to work in the area. Drevo employed about 10,500 people in its Wilmington shipyard, with another 12,000 in Pittsburgh.
Google has about 20,000 employees to run Google, and this Drevo Wilmington shipyard employed 10,500 to make all these ships for World War II.
Pusey and Jones employed over 3,500 during World War II to build tankers and freighters for the U.S. Maritime Commission.
These were enormous ships, the largest ships built in Wilmington, over 412 feet long with beams of 60 feet. so large that they couldn't be launched bow on or stern on. They had to be launched sideways into the river because they were too long to fit.
The ships got larger and larger, which iron allowed for. Wilmington specialized in smaller wartime ships like Higgins boats, building over 400 for the Navy and Army.
These were the Saving Private Ryan amphibious craft that landed right on the beach and carried a squad of men with one tank.
Another famous ship built in Wilmington, a model by the famous Swedish designer John Ericsson, the Monitor.
He's one of the great industrial geniuses, designers of the 19th century. One of his projects was the Monitor, and they built about 65 monitors during the war, and they kept improving them and doing different evolutions.
The first iteration of the Monitor was developed quickly.
So the first one was a prototype rushed into operation to save the fleet down in Hampton Roads, and it did. It got there just in time to save the fleet.
The turret, which almost looks like a carousel atop the submarine-like Monitor, was its defining characteristic for its ability to hold large guns.
These 15-inch guns would throw a 441-pound shot, which gives you a sense of the revolution that was taking place with iron-hulled construction.
Another famous World War II boat built in Wilmington was the Saugus.
And then here it is in one of the iconic images of World War II is it unloading supplies, the logistics at Iwo Jima Beach during the beach assault.
And there it is, Iwo Jima, 8 square miles of volcanic rock.
But not all ships built along the river were built for battle. Ferry boats, known also as Wilson liners, were built in Wilmington's shipyards to take passengers up to New Jersey and Philadelphia.
And there weren't bridges across. We take that for granted. The Delaware Memorial Bridge, which seems to have been there forever, wasn't opened until 1951, after World War II.
They specialized in day excursions to beach sites in Pennsville and New Jersey.
So, I mean, thousands a day were taking the Wilson Ferry Line. It was one of the busiest ferry liners in the country in the 1920s, mostly on these outings.
And that's the type of boat travel most common on the Christiana today, thanks in part to the Kalmar Nickel. They provide tourist and educational excursions to the public.
Currently a secret.
Oh, okay.
But there's a group on board today. It's a guy and his wife and their kids, and it's their 20th anniversary, and they met at the Kalmar Nickel Foundation, I think when the ship was being built, because 20 years ago she wasn't even launched yet. And so he has arranged for their priest to come along, and they're going to say a blessing. And she does not know.
That's Captain Morgan's again, back aboard the Kalmar Nickel. The Sikowski couple exchanged vows on the bow of the ship. The husband, Dan, helped build the boat as a ship carpenter. He and his now wife of 20 years, Jennifer, spent the early days of their dating life in the Wilmington shipyard.
But the crazy thing is, I haven't been on the actual boat. 20 took 20 years. Four kids and jobs later, So it just was really wanted to do that today.
Dan's ancestors were Swedish and came to America by way of the original ship the Kalmar Nickel is modeled after. Jennifer was also happy to see the ship in its finished form.
Really amazing to be on board, having watched the ship go up from just nothing, really. Boards. Just a big shipyard full of boards.
The Kalmar Nickel is definitely more than just boards today, and even makes trips to Cape Cod.
Get a turn there, Bob. Yeah, when he sweats, you need to have a turn. You're tailing. Okay. Two hands on the tail, Bob. Two hands on the tail. There you go.
But before they could head there, they had to dock and let us tourists off.
The trick here is to bring the boat in close enough to the dock that one of my crew members can actually step to shore. We call it jumping, but that is in fact a misnomer. There's really no jumping involved.
Still working. There's the beach.
Alrighty,
folks.
We made it back safe and sound. Megan Polly, Delaware Public Media.